And we're very happy to be joined today by Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor and member of Socialist Alliance. And we thought we would have her up on our program today to actually have a bit of discussion about some of the latest developments in the Palestine Solidarity Movement, and especially focusing on some of the Albanese government's recent sort of action. So good morning, Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
So, Sue, I guess I want to kind of start off with a bit of a question about a bit about some of your thoughts. I guess I want to kind of hear some of your comments about the significance of the International Court of Justice ruling, which basically declared that, you know, while it didn't necessarily call for a ceasefire, it essentially basically made a ruling that Israel is plausibly committing genocide and it must take particular actions to basically prevent it from committing genocide, including basically stopping everything that it's doing kind of right now. And I guess I want to kind of hear some of your comments about, you know, some what about the significance of this in the context of the Palestine Solidarity Movement?
Well, I think while it was really upsetting and many people are angry about the fact that the ICJ didn't call for an immediate ceasefire, it actually is significant. I mean, by itself, it's not going to, you know, stop the war. We need the People's Power Movement to keep ramping up the pressure on all of these countries, including in Australia, to force them to stop arming Israel, because, you know, if these countries stopped arming Israel, the genocide would stop, because Israel's genocide is being conducted with US weapons, Australian parts for weapons, funding from the United States, etc., and from UK and Germany and other countries. But I think it is still positive that the ICJ made the decision they did, even though it would be much, much better if they called for immediate ceasefire, because I think this is the first time really that an international body has made very strong criticisms of what Israel's doing to the Palestinians, and they are saying that there is a plausible case that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. And this is something which all of these Western governments refuse to acknowledge. And in reality, these Western governments, they know a genocide is happening, that they support Israel. And so they're telling their populations that there's no genocide. They know a genocide is happening. But this is a public accusation of genocide by the international Court of Justice. So it has put pressure on all of these Western governments, because it does blow apart their rationale for why they're backing Israel's genocide. And it is interesting that all of these governments, mainly the Western colonial settler state, you know, governments, US, Canada, Australia, and then Britain, and were the first out of the blocks to, get out and condemn the decision of the International Criminal Court of Justice. So I think the very fact that, interim decision of the International Criminal Court, of the Court of Justice, that it does expose... It exposes the lies that the US and Australian and other governments are telling their people about what Israel's doing. So in that sense, I think it is really important that they didn't just cave in to all the Israeli propaganda and so forth. But it was very interesting what happened with the world's media about this case, because none of the Western media, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure this is exactly the case, none of the Western media live streamed the South African case that was presented to the ICJ, but all or most of them live-streamed Israel's case to the ICJ. Like, it's also, I mean, genocide is political, as to who recognises what's going on and what's not. And some countries have an economic interest to back Israel and not recognise genocide.
And that gets gets into kind of the next kind of important question, which is the important kind of developments that's happened in the Palestine solidarity movement. But I want to kind of hear your comments on the Western government's decision, in particular the Albanese government's decision to suspend funds to the United Nations Relief and Work Agency for Palestine refugees in the Near East. And of course, just to give a bit of background to this, to these Western governments, there's been these allegations, which have come from Israel, conveniently, that at least 10 UNWRA workers may have been involved in the October 7 attacks. And of course, the Western government's response has been to basically cut or suspend funding to that agency. And I guess I kind of want to hear, Sue, that your kind of comments and why we must oppose this decision.
This is absolutely outrageous, the cutting of funding to UNRWA. And it's sort of like it's the reverse of what we're used to seeing of innocent before proven guilty. This is guilty until proven innocent and on the basis of no actual evidence. So Australia and these other governments chop the funding before there's been an investigation. The original allegation about some staff having been part of the Hamas attack on Israel was a confession extracted under torture. They, you know, UNRWA is doing an investigation. They clearly felt they had to sack the staff immediately before there's been any investigation because they're desperate for the funds. And this is like finding, I don't know, three people in the health department in Victoria who there's some allegation that they've committed some crime, and you chop all of the funding from the health department or the whole government of Victoria, and you're saying to Tasmania, oh, maybe you can come in and provide the services. It's just like, it's outrageous, absolutely outrageous, and there's no other entity that's capable of providing what UNRWA provides. And UNRWA is a very special agency. I mean, it is the only agency of its kind because it employs mostly local workers in the countries it works in, whereas most other aid agencies employ mostly people from outside the country and has very few, and employ very few locals. They provide such a wide range of services. I heard that horrible right-wing piece of work, James Patterson, one of the really far-right coalition politicians from the federal parliament, you know, going on about, you know, how outrageous it is about UNRWA and how the government could just give the money to the Red Cross. Red Cross and Red Crescent are a totally different service. They're health service. And UNRWA provides a wide range of services, like, because, you know, the government of Gaza isn't able, it's a government which was only ever able to provide a very small number of things because it's not a genuine government in the sense that Israel controls most stuff that happens in Gaza and the West Bank. So it's this is really just, you know, people already starving to death. I believe people would already be starving to death in Gaza. The UN's defined it as being, you know, almost at the famine point, and I know they've got particular definitions of different points, but there's widespread malnutrition in Gaza, and how could there not be when people are hunting for little tiny scraps of food here and there? I just heard the other day of someone who found bird seed, who was grinding up bird seed to try and make some bread. It's like, yeah, this is, you know, absolutely, you know, there aren't enough catastrophic words to describe what's going on. And the Australian government and the US and Canada and the UK and Germany decide to twist the knife in even further into the Gazan people by saying you can starve more quickly. That's really what they're doing.
I want to jump in on that actually as well, because you mentioned kind of James Patterson's comments. I actually think, you know, it's quite disgraceful when you read the Albanese government's actual statement about this decision, especially the comments of Penny Wong. You kind of almost wish that they had the same level of honesty as, say, someone like James Patterson from the Liberal Party, because what Penny Wong has actually said about this decision is almost like some kind of awful form of doublespeak. She's basically commented that, oh yeah, this is a temporary pause, and we're gonna promise to engage closely with UNRWA, and then at the same time, in the same comment, she praised UNRWA in probably the same way that you just sort of did just now, as doing vital life-saving work. Like, you know, how can people kind of accept this kind of doublespeak from politicians in the Albanese government? And I guess I kind of want to hear, yeah, your comments on these kind of weasel words that we're constantly hearing from the Albanese government when it comes to this ongoing genocide.
Well, I think this is the case with lots of Labor MPs, especially the more progressive ones or the ones that got elected on the back of the Muslim and Arabic vote. And there's a big debate inside Labor Party branches with members, especially members who either come from the Middle East or just people who are horrified by what we're seeing. So that, you know, as of December or November last year, over 40 Labor Party branches in New South Wales had called for an emergency ceasefire. And I think they meant permanent ceasefire. They didn't mean these little tiny temporary pauses that do nothing. So there is a debate that's happening within the Labor Party, and so the Labor Party is trying to cover itself in all different directions. You know, their fundamental position is support for Israel, and that's not just because of the Zionist lobby. It's because of US economic interests and the US military alliance that Australia is part of, and Australia is part of, not just following along, you know, tamely behind the US, but, you know, Australia is fully in there. So Australia is fully complicit. And I think it is just, yeah, it is very outrageous. If Penny Wong actually believed what she said about UNRWA being, you know, a vital service, they would not be cutting this funding. They're doing this deliberately. And what makes it worse is that the ICJ has said that there's a plausible case for genocide. That means every single country that is arming Israel, which includes Australia, and there's a protest today about weapons manufacturers in Australia making parts for these horrific jet fighters that drop these horrific 2,000-pound bombs in Gaza. You know, Australia is complicit in a what the ICJ has said is a plausible case for genocide, and I believe it is a genocide. I think Penny Wong's comments are because of this huge internal debate in the Labor Party, and so they're trying to, you know, look kind. Well, I don't think there's no way you can dress this decision up as being kind while also being cruel. And, you know, Jed Carney is a particular, you know, case. She's a member for Labor member for Cooper, and you know, she's actually visited Gaza, I think, and the West Bank on a study tour years ago when she was a trade union leader. And I suspect, in a heart of heart, she is opposed to what the government's doing in terms of Israel, what the Australian government's doing. But she is also focused on her career. And so she's putting out lots of videos, especially since we organised the protest outside her office. She's putting out lots of videos of sympathy and talking about how what a great service UNRWA is and all sorts of sympathetic videos. But she will not call for a ceasefire or a lifting of the siege. And if anyone claims to be a friend of the Palestinians without calling for those two things as a very elemental beginning of trying to stop the genocide, then it, her words aren't worth a piece of shit, basically. All the sympathy in the world, or sympathetic words, mean zero while the bombing is going, while the, you know, people are being deliberately starved to death. And this bombing is, you know, I don't believe this is just indiscriminate bombing. They have deliberately destroyed the hospitals. They have deliberately targeted journalists. There are more and more stories coming out of Gaza of people being mown down who are trying to walk from place to place holding a white flag, civilians. So, you know, people with white flags are being deliberately targeted, and the summary execution of men being stripped naked and, you know, and kneeling with blindfolded. This is like Guantanamo Bay or Abu Ghraib, or, you know, this is, yeah, absolutely, you know, the horrific element of humanity. But luckily there is a huge worldwide movement of the ordinary people to say this is horrific.
Sorry, for listeners just tuning in, we are interviewing Sue Bolton, who's a Marybeck councillor, and we're just talking about the recent ICJ court ruling and also the cutting of UNRWA by the Albanese government. And yet this is a shameful decision by the government to cut this lifeline for 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza who are facing starvation and illness, water and fuel shortages, while the Australian government approves hundreds of military sales to Israel. But Sue, just to conclude this interview, you know, Labor does claim to have this clear and consistent position since October 7th. They've urged all parties to the conflict, well, it's not a conflict, but, you know, conflict in inverted commas, to respect humanitarian law, international humanitarian law, and calling for civilians to be protected and hostages released. I mean, this consistency is not true. But I guess, would you be able to tell listeners, in light of these recent developments, what should activists, or what can we do with our outrage? I mean, how important are our protests, not just in solidarity with Palestinians, but working with those who actually expose Labor and pressure the government to condemn Israel's genocide and some of our demands?
Well, I think our efforts need to double and redouble, and to really force the Labor government to drop its position. You know, this movement, the Palestine Solidarity Movement, has to go into all sorts of corners of society. We have to keep broadening out. We have to, you know, organise actions in more cities, more towns, more suburbs. And, you know, every element of this movement counts. And I think people have been doing this just off their own bat, which is fantastic. And it's really because this worldwide movement exists because of the extremeness of what Israel's doing. Israel has created this worldwide movement by being so extreme in what it's doing to the Palestinians and what it's doing to people in Gaza. Like, that's taken all the attention because they are trying to deliberately kill an entire population. But also what it's doing in West Bank is also horrific as well. So we've got to keep increasing and in this movement and involving more people. And, you know, we've got examples of movements winning against these powerful odds in the past. And the ending of the Vietnam War is one example. I was too young to be involved in that movement, but it was, you know, the combination of the brave and courageous resistance of the Vietnamese people plus the international anti-war movement, including the anti-war movement in the United States, that caused the defeat of the biggest military in the world and richest country in the world, the United States, and forced the US, Australia, and New Zealand to withdraw their troops. And the reason why the US, because the US was considering using nuclear weapons in Vietnam, and it was really only this worldwide people's movement and the movement inside the United States that stopped the US. And the real reason is because the movement was so big that the US started to become worried that there was going to be a revolution in the United States if they kept going. And so it does take an immense people's movement to force rich and powerful capitalist countries to pull their heads in and stop destroying the lives of people. And so, you know, we are building such a movement. There are, you know, really people, all sorts of people are just so shocked by what is happening. They're just never taken political action in their lives before, but just starting to do something. And there are also arguments happening within different professional bodies, different civil society organisations, etc. And different unions as well, trade unions. And there are a couple of bodies that have been remarkably silent during this genocide. And one is the churches, and another is the unions. And in the past, when Israel has been bombing Gaza, the unions have been much more outspoken and the churches have been more outspoken. And I find that strange that now things are much more intense with a full-on genocide, not a short 3 weeks of bombing, that's not really short for people suffering it, but compared to what we're experiencing now, it's short. But I suspect that in the union's case, it's because their party's in power. And in the past, unions have been the forefront of anti-war movements. We do need to push our unions, but all organisations were involved in to take positions and also put pressure on more councils all over the country to take positions in support of Palestine, calling for ceasefire and ending of the siege. And we've got to envisage that when the bombing stops and when the siege is lifted and the military operation is ended,
Well, thank you very much, Sue. We'll go conclude that interview there. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM.